The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A big thank you goes out this week to Melissa, who became a new patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. We want to thank Melissa and everybody who became a new patron in 2021. I know it was a horrible year, but thank you to everyone who became a patron in 2021. Your support is greatly appreciated by all of us at Critical Hit. And if you're looking for something to do in the new year, don't forget patreon.com/majorspoilers has a yearly plan where you can sign up and pay for a whole year in advance. And then you don't have to worry about the monthly reminders from your credit card company or your billing company or whoever it is. You just pay it once, and then you can enjoy all of the extra bonus content that you get for a whole year, including character sheets. Level 7 character sheets are going up in the next week, so be on the lookout for that. We also have some very nice people who have contributed sums to Major Spoilers that fall outside of our Patreon range. And one of them said, hey, could you do us a favor and mention the Trevor Project? And I said, sure, why not? The Trevor Project provides 24/7 crisis support services to the LGBTQ young people community. So if you need some help, if you are going through some difficult times right now, check out the Trevor Project. You can text, chat, or call anytime. You can find out more about the Trevor Project at thetrevorproject.org. Okay, what else is going on? We've had, I think, all things considered, a really good year. But if you are listening in time enough, depending on who you are and where you are in the world, we're going to have our yearly VIP live chat that every December we open it up to everyone, whether you're a gold level patron or not. That takes place December 18th. That's Saturday, December 18th at 1 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Come in and see how the year went for everything at Major Spoilers. It's usually a really good discussion to wrap up the year for everyone about that. Also, as a reminder, because the next 2 weeks are holidays, this will be the last Critical Hit episode that you will get for 2021, and we will be back to continue these adventures in 2022. And oh my gosh, speaking of leaving you on a cliffhanger, here's this week's episode of Critical Hit. Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. Kevin, I see a gate ahead, but I'm sure that that's not the only thing that's going to happen.
It's not the only thing ahead of you. That's for certain. Yes, you guys are proceeding deeper into the rings. Now there are only three ships left as the Mermessia. You guys destroyed that. Vangie blew it up with her maser last time.
Critical Hit. On Critical Hit.
Right on time, Rob.
Rob was muted. I like that one better.
It's just the Squeaky Clean, the Celebrant of Darkness, and the Umber Wyvern. Did you guys have any questions? No? Cool.
One question. I had one question. So in the previous round, Skritik had given us a boost to speed. That was only temporary, right? That was only for that round.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So our speed has been reduced to 8.
Yeah. Well, the good news is your speed is no longer halved either, because the gravity well only lasted that round as well.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Oh, yeah. That was just a temporary effect.
Yeah.
I thought that was stuck to our.
Temporary black hole. Come on.
Yeah. It's like the one you can pick up at CVS. It lasts like an hour. Right. It's fine.
Should we maybe just ignore everything and hammer down the gas?
I don't know.
Do you have any resolve points left, Steven?
I do.
But you can't spend them right now because your engines are malfunctioning, which means you can't push your system. So resolve points, I would say you can make that a resolution to fix them. Anyway, Yeah, it wasn't very good. I resolved to do better. So, your hosts welcome you back with a little swoosh and the Drifters logo. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Drifters, the galaxy's only InfoSphere show, simulcast in InfraVision and UltraVision. I'm your host, Jock Hammer. Shulai, I feel like a brand new man. I don't know what it is, but I just feel fantastic. Do you think there's a missing shade of blue we could see but can't imagine in our minds? Or is that just a semantic argument made by assembling previous ideas that are all conceivable, but arranging those ideas in a manner that sounds plausible? Does the mind have to be exposed to relevant sensory experience in order to generate ideas? Shulai says, for humans, yes, there are several missing shades of blue and many other colors.
Wait, really? I was kind of thinking this would be more of a banter moment, philosophical disagreement.
No, it is a simple question with a simple answer. Would you like to see them?
You bet!
Shulai explodes into a spectrum of colors impossible to describe, except to say that they are all shades of existing colors, just ones you couldn't imagine before seeing them. Jock sits there dazzled, his mouth hanging open. A long line of drool starts to drip from his chin. Eventually, his head just hits the table and he slides out of his chair, flopping to the ground below the swoosh-shaped desk. And now, a word from our sponsors. An overly excited Yosoki, this one appearing almost chipmunk-like, gesticulates wildly while wearing a spacesuit in the parking lot in front of a rundown space mall. Are you desperate for savings this holiday season? Whether you're celebrating the cheerful gift-giving Skittermander holiday of Helpsgiving or the blood-soaked 8-day festival of excess, the best called the Days of Honor, you'll need all sorts of gifts, gives, and sustenance to serve. My name is Nibbles, and I'm here to offer you deals, deals, deals. I buy and sell whatever I can get my paws on, and that means you're in luck because I must empty my space warehouses before my payments are due to the intergalactic crime gangs I owe credits to. But that's all. Savings, savings, savings for you. Need gifts for your family, but you don't have the credits, and you're torn between financial responsibility and the knowledge you're running out of time with your family and need to buy their love while you still can? Come to Nibbles Discount Gift Barn and Sustenance Outlet, where we make that trade-off go down easy. Does the little one want a little Tashtari Laser Wolf, but you can't afford to pay the official breeder's price? Don't worry. At Nibbles Discount Gift Barn and Sustenance Outlet, Tashtari Laser Wolf Rescue is our middle name. They're already half-trained from their past lives as junkyard security, so they know the command kill. All you need to teach them is the command for love. Back to Missionary Crate School Supplies? Data pads, 40 credits. Pack World Uniforms, 5 credits. Or how about a heavy personal mobility vehicle with heated seats and massagers? Only 450 credits. Getting ready to host your friends for the big gladiator match? You need nachos. And let's not forget the intoxicants. So many intoxicants. Castrovillian wine, 7 credits a bottle. You'll never see it at this price. Don't ask how I got it. Let's just say some of my friends in space give me an 8-legged discount. Don't serve it to your elven friends. Looking for something with more of a kick? How about Austriapian Merope, the drink made from the species honey they store for their larval young? Only 15 credits. Just prepare a safe space in your tenement room for their extreme hallucinations and languid writhing. Rare beer snob coming over? Serve them some Eoxian Corpse Dusk Intergalactic Pale Ale. 6 credits for a 6-pack. Technically not fit for living creature consumption, but who's judging you? Not me. Come to Nibbles Discount Gift Barn and Sustenance Outlet on Intergalactic Drift Route, past Doctor on exit 163, just as I pack world space. All sales are final.
Nice. we'll swing by there after the race.
You still haven't given me a list of what you want this year, Hecubino.
Man, these things always sneak up on me. What with Agaton's rotation being so fast.
You're hard to shop for.
The voice is hard to do.
We're trying to fill for you while you recover there. We could get Hecubino one of those big, big 50-gallon drums of dome whack.
Mm, yeah. That's a good idea.
All righty. So It is a new round, and that means your engineers, your captains, science officers, all of those people, you guys get to go first. And then we'll roll initiative in the middle of the round, just like makes obvious sense to everyone. And I've never messed up.
I guess I should try to fix these engines, huh? Or patch again.
Yes, please.
Okay.
This seems important, so I'll encourage Skrtik to do that. Nice. I'll just use the encourage action, which is like a DC 15 plus Starship's tier diplomacy check. It'll just be me being like, Skrtik, what's wrong with the engines? Get the engines!
Diplomacy.
My diplomacy is lower than I remembered.
Does that seem
that's
like
why it's largely just yelling at me?
Yep.
18.
Well, 15 below plus. DC, so.
What's our tier?
What's the DC?
7.
Yeah.
DC 15 plus Starship's tier.
I see encouraged DC tier, not 1.5. Are you look?
I think I'm looking. I'm looking at the core book.
It's just a flat 15 diplomacy check.
Okay. Yeah, they have eroded several things.
Ooh. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Happened. Well then.
So that succeeds. Huzzah!
That like the plus two or?
Yep.
Hecubino is one of those rare micromanaging bosses who helps.
Those exist.
Well, he is actually encouraging Skrtik. So
yeah, I'll show up with a cowboy hat and be like, "Hey, Skrtik, how's work? Fix the engines, fix them now."
And then we'll have a pizza party.
All right. There's a DC 25 to patch a malfunctioning. Oh, and it takes two actions.
Somebody else is going to have to jump in on this.
Number of actions patches isn't big.
Anyone else got engineering?
I can reduce the number of actions by one by increasing it to 30.
That seems like you're guaranteed to fail.
Yeah, I mean, well, I haven't.
I do, but I think you might want me at piloting.
It's only at a plus 8, which is not very high.
I mean, somebody else could take over at piloting.
I would say Sam could pilot for the round.
Yeah, my piloting is higher. My piloting is plus 11. I mean, it's still not great, but.
All right.
Yeah, you should take the pilot. But you have a minus 4 penalty right now.
Musical chairs round. Vangy pilots. Okay. Bob and Skrtik fix the engines. Quentin shoots.
Quentin shoots.
And Namu probably scans again, unless we unless we figure out a way to use strength for him to shoot a gun.
You could use the chief mate action.
Oh, you know, can he like give us some stims and up our skills?
Absolutely. Ooh. That's just something Amu can do.
Just shoot people up.
Or I could just hold it.
I mean, you still have your boosters. You can just go walk around and apply boosters to people. That's something they can do.
Oh, where is that tab there? Biohacker? Yeah, that's the tab.
Going and throwing around vials.
Yeah. Plus 2 enhancement bonus to skill checks.
I would certainly allow that to happen, and I would allow it to happen during the engineering phase, because it doesn't require an opposed role of any sort relative to another ship.
I mean, would that stack?
Yeah, of course. So it's totally separate from either Grace or Hecubino's encouragement. Like, they're all different sources, basically, in my mind.
Yeah.
Do it.
I say this one is labeled as an enhancement bonus specifically.
Nice. Great.
Yeah. You know, Lance Armstrong got kicked out of
for some enhancement bonuses.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Something tells me the drifters.
Yeah, they don't care.
They guys, do not care.
Would probably encourage this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then the question would be who to give it to.
Shoot up's critic.
What kind of action is it to give that to somebody, Rob?
It's been a hot second since we've done that.
Yeah, right.
Can you do it with an attack roll? And if so...
Oh, can yes. you full attack it?
Can you full attack it? I don't know that you have more than one attack at this level. I'm pretty sure you don't.
No.
Oh, wait, actually, I'm lying.
Yeah, it's Starfinder.
Starfinder. It's Starfinder, man. So you could, as your action, guarantee apply it to one person, or you could make full attacks using your bioweapons and jab it into both people so long as they're near each other. So, for instance, Skritik and Vangie, or no, not Vangie, Skritik
Bob and Vangie?
Bob and Skritik, because they're both in the engineering area.
Yep. I figure hit Bob and Vangie while they swap.
Or Bob and Vangie while they swap. That's also totally valid. While they're, like, you know, Bob's sliding down the little, you know, he's not taking the steps. He's doing the cool Navy thing where they just go down the stairs without using steps.
Yeah.
What's your two hit, though? Because my KAC is actually quite high.
Plus 7.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hit me.
there's a lot of stuff in between her and or you and her veins.
Yeah. Is there like some sort of a willing target bonus?
Yeah, you could relent, and then it would be basically treat you as flat-footed, so you take a minus 2 penalty.
Oh.
And would I lose my dex bonus?
No.
All right, then it's still locked. It's like my KAC is 25.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
I would recommend that you actually just do one person guaranteed. Because we have the option, like, there's a possibility here of you just losing a whole, like, a whole action to bad rolls, where all you're doing is enhancing the rolls, which is important, but once you start putting, like, multiple rolls, like, basically chaining rolls, hoping that the final roll will be good, you can
actions
run into
actions on actions on actions, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of that as it is.
Yeah.
These don't last just one round though.
No, they don't. They last what's your it's your intelligence. Intelligence modifier?
Where is that?
Is your intelligence like an 18 or a 20?
Amu's intelligence is an 18.
So they last 4 rounds.
No, I still think that the guaranteed doing it as opposed to making
it. I mean, it's still really good to be like, it's also not just a skill check. It's you get a plus 2 enhancement bonus to all skill checks.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Very powerful.
I would say hit Skritik now since he's literally just holding the ship like Spider-Man on the ferry. and then we'll parse it out from there.
Hit as the general consensus is to hit Skritik right now.
Yep.
That's my consensus.
Hit him with a basic booster plus 2 enhancement bonus to all skill checks for the next 4 rounds.
Basic action. But it's very good. Okay, so that's Amu, that's Hecubino. Do we have Skritik and Bob making engineering checks?
I think so.
Yeah, and I'm going to try my best to make a pilot tech.
Well, we'll get to you during the helm phase there, Vangie. Hold your horses. So Skritik, you're getting plus 4 right now. 2 from Hecubino, 2 from Amu. And then you guys can both call on Grace if you want.
Yeah, I'll pass on the Grace bonus since I already got 2 and allow Bob to take it.
I will take it.
And so I'll try my check. I assume we both have to roll?
Yes.
All right. So this plus 4, right, 32.
That's going to succeed.
Excellent.
Whew.
Mine is a plus 2, and that's a 26.
What's the DC on this guy?
25.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Wow. Wow. That
we got it done in one round.
Hopefully nice. We got it done in one round. I mean, but that was due to, you know, it took several people's actions making that come together. So that's pretty cool.
Team effort. Teamwork makes the dream work.
And Brian, don't forget to note that Skritik gets that plus two to skills for several rounds, for three additional rounds. Yep. Okay. So now we're on to... That's it for Helm, I think. That was four people's action, or for engineering. That was four people's actions. It's the Helm phase, which does mean it's a piloting check from your current pilot, which is Vangi. Vangi, the engines are patched, right? So they don't. She doesn't take any penalty from that.
Well, that's something.
So roll for initiative.
So she like sits down in the seat and tries to like adjust her settings from like the much smaller, narrower Bob. And it's like, Grace, help me out here.
Oh yeah, you have to like lower the seat down.
Yeah,
the
mirror. Exactly.
Mirrors. Yeah.
You also have to lift the back so you can pull your tail through.
Mm-hmm. It's a little awkward. All right, so my piloting check, and I will be taking that plus two. Thanks. So,
incidentally, Sam and I share one car, and we go through this multiple times a day, every day.
Yeah, that tracks.
Not great.
Mm-hmm. It's initiative, right? What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, I suppose that's true. Fair enough.
20?
18.
18.
I accounted for the...
Oh, okay, okay. Cool.
So, that will make you go second.
Yeah.
Yay!
Hey, you beat the Celebrant, which is in... It's taken some penalties right now.
Nice.
It's in a world of hurt. But the Wyvern... So I guess it's the same initiative as last round, basically. Celebrant
critical
last... Last round? I don't know that we get to count that.
On critical hit.
Don't argue with them. It makes them stronger.
Truly, accurate. When we are united, we are like a super troll. It's like when five super troll lions turn into one big giant super troll robot. That's Rob and I, except, you know, chunky.
Yeah, there's a picture in the monster manual. It's an Ettin.
Yeah, I was going to say, they'd argue over who gets to form the head, but I guess that's an option.
You know, so every time an Ettin comes up, they have to have a discussion and ideally an argument with each other, right?
Right.
Like, that's
right.
Just kind of, that's a rule of...
Anytime the party comes upon one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, obviously.
9, 10, stop. Okay, so we've got some good news and some... bad news. So the Celebrant of Darkness will zip ahead.
Ouch.
What is that?
And it runs into something in the nebula cloud. I guess it can technically move through it because that's how space works, but it will provoke revealing itself.
Maybe it's good we weren't in the lead.
All right.
Actually, wait a minute. That's going to affect it if it hits. So let's resolve this real quick. Fortunately for the Celebrant of Darkness, it vents plasma at just the right time, causing this creature to veer back into its nebula cloud of safety. But for a brief moment, your scans and cameras show a giant space fish-like monster. It's long and looks like a floating tentacle thing. We're gonna call it a space remora.
Tell Amu they can't have one.
It's about the size. It's about the size of the Squeaky Clean, to be clear.
They can't have one.
Maybe a little bit smaller, but like. Definitely, it's size category, I guess it's size category large, and the Squeaky Clean would be like huge.
Medium.
Relative,
oh.
Or, well, but starship sizes versus regular people sizes.
Sure.
So it's not the size of the Squeaky Clean. Sorry, I was thinking of regular creatures. It's about the size of maybe like an elephant, but it's floating through space.
Once again, tell them who they cannot have one.
No, we will tame it, and it'll be our friend.
It bites at the Celebrant of Darkness's hull, and you can see little flickers of energy around its teeth as it tries to latch on, as though it has some sort of electromagnetic connector teeth thing.
Super don't like that.
Space electric eel.
Electric math teeth.
You guys are up.
So I get on the comms. Hecubino, if you're feeling like you know how to pilot the ship well, we could try to push it and try to get as far ahead of Team Rust Dragon as possible. We can even, maybe even fly around that that thing.
Oh, Vangie's on this in the seat.
Yes.
Oh, Vangie's in the seat. Oh, okay. Well, I'm communicating to the captain. So.
No. Yeah. So I think that let's go through the ring and see what happens. Okay.
But do you want to push it or just fly?
Just fly. I can't push.
Okay. Well, it doesn't require a check.
Huh?
Push it good.
It doesn't require a check. It just requires a so you add
a resolve point.
Yeah, you spend a resolve point and you move at 1.5 times speed.
Push it real good.
Oh, interesting.
But your turn distance is a little messed up, but I don't think that's going
to
matter.
Yeah, it's true. We don't really need to make a turn. So yeah. I guess if it just requires a resolve point, I've still got plenty of those. So let's do it. Pushing it.
So you guys are at speed 16.
16.
Which means speed 24.
All right. Whoa. So.
All right. So let's count this out.
One and the two.
Oh, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that. Let's count this out quietly in our heads to make for awesome radio play.
Math is hard.
So we'll go through the ring.
Here's the thing.
Oh, man, we can get all the way over to this other gate.
You can get over. That is not a gate. That is upgrade booster.
Okay, we can get all the way to the upgrade booster.
Love that.
Let's upgrade.
I don't even know what that does, but I am in.
It gives us a spoiler.
I mean, I hope so.
Sorry, that was a spoiler alert.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, great. So the course you plot in will take you through another space.
Oh, no.
So let's see if it gets you.
We're good. We dodge.
It gets you.
No.
I mean, fuck!
We would have run right into it.
Okay. So, your speed is reduced by 2, which means, it's net reduced by 3 because you're moving at speed and a half. Steven, were you plotting out where it would be?
Yeah, it would be, we'd end up like right here then.
Right next to the Celebrant of Darkness. That makes sense. So we're there, and it's still attached to you.
Nah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. No, like the Remora goes with you. Yep.
Well, we know what the science officer needs the science.
How to tame a Remora.
Yeah, it can, like, gnaw on the ship and deal ship damage, but first it needs to attach, which it has done.
Great.
Yep. Hey, it tried. The other one tried on the Celebrant of Darkness. I just rolled very badly. I guess going first in initiative is great for the Umber Wyvern because it somehow doesn't have to worry about the space you guys have flown through. It is still slower than you guys, though.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right. It is there. As it moves to catch up. Okay. So we're on to the gunnery phase. So you guys you can look out your starboard windows and see the Celebrant of Darkness that if you guys recall what it looks like, I think that the art I found for it was pretty cool. That's what it looks like brand new. Imagine that thing just getting totally wrecked by, you know, asteroids and masers and everything you've hit, you know, tracking mines. So it's coming apart at the seams. That cool purple light all around it is flickering on and off. Lots of its little tentacle chain things are dangling there, barely operational. You can see, actually, as they turn to look at you, they're in some sort of combination, like vacuum suit, like they've got like gas masks and stuff on, because it looks like they're venting their life support. But they also seem to prepared for just such an occasion. Either that, or they have some multi-purpose latex suits on board.
Makes sense.
So it's the gunnery phase. Who hasn't acted yet?
I have the guns.
All right.
Boy. That thing looks like a flea had sex with a stealth fighter, and I'm going to shoot it.
I got more of a tick vibe, but...
You don't want to shoot the...
I mean, fleas and ticks, those are... yeah.
Do I want to shoot that ship, or do I want to try and shoot the Remelephant from space off of our side?
That's an
could
interesting
question.
Could I
even question. Do that? Can
you
I
absolutely,
shoot it?
You certainly could try to.
I say blast the Celebrant, and we'll have Amu get a look at this thing and see if there's a way that we could get it off without taking part of our ship with it.
Okay.
The Celebrant is in bad shape.
Yeah.
Maybe Amu can convince the thing to go and attack the Team Rust Dragon.
Yeah,
that'd
right?
be cool. That'd be cool. Just Remora. Tell them they can't have it. here's my question for you. I'm looking at this thing, and it says here, I'm a gunner, which means I'm gunning. Mm-hmm. As is my will, you know, every 6 months right. I like to look at the rule book. This says that I could push a broadside, but I don't necessarily know what a broadside maneuver is.
So that's what Sam Asvangi did last round, where it's you fire
on
all the weapons.
Hit. On critical hit?
Got me again.
Because of where it is, you could take a -2 to both your attacks if you spend it.
But you'd only
point.
Be hitting it with the laser net as your other attack. So you'd get like two attacks, basically.
But one's only going to do like 2d6 damage. So I don't
one's
know
only
really
2d6 damage. Now, the thing is pretty beat up, but I don't know. Like the thing that has by far the most punch is the maser, which is your turret, the one that can fire in any direction. Mm-hmm. What Vangi did was, which was... why it was kind of better for her is because the ship was in your forward mount at that time, so she could fire the torpedo launcher against it. Okay. So right now, it would be... You still could do that, though. It's not a bad action. It's just a little bit less overall possible damage.
And it's basically my ranged attack.
Yeah, it's a gunnery check, which winds up being basically your ranged attack.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably just take the main and take a grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is your action. Oh, yeah. It is your call.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't like things that have negatives, because at that point I'm rolling crap. We could end up with literal negative numbers. So if I take a grace, that's a +2.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
All right. So, and my general ranged attack is a 8.
So that'd be +10.
Right. So not as good as Vangi, but. Yeah, I'm going to shoot the stealth flea. And I'm going to shoot it really hard with our schmazers. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Yes.
For me to roll a 1? Yes. Yes.
I'm so prepared for that. Oh,
26.
Yeah, that will do. Ouch. That hurts. Sam, do you know the maser's damage off the top of your head?
6d10.
So?
6d10.
You get to
60 times 10. That's 600, dudes.
Yeah, right. So that is not how that works.
Wow.
Just impressive. Impressive, Matthew. Oh, thank you, Roll 20, for that lovely. That lovely.
Oh, yeah. Slash okay. R space. And then just 6d10.
However, the Celebrant gets to fire on you guys as well, and they will use their particle beam.
So remember, they got a -2 to their gunnery actions.
They do, and they actually have a
-4
total to it total.
They also get a -2 for trying to shoot at Quentin, the galaxy sweetheart.
Nope, they get another minus two because of their power core. So, this is a little... You guys are missed by their particle beam.
Yeah.
Yep. So they do does it not hit, manage
does it hit Nick Remora by mistake and shoot it off our hull?
Maybe if they would have rolled a nat one.
Yeah, no.
Drake Remora.
But they're going to take 30.
30.
Yeah, we're going to get to the resolution phase. The Umber Wyvern.
Points of Quentin damage. Making up for something.
Turtle
that's
power.
That's pretty good. Exactly. All right. Let's see here. The Umber Wyvern.
The beige. What's another word?
Hey, for man, you try coming up with Rust Dragon that sounds cool. You're making fun of it. You didn't do anything.
I'm not making fun of you.
I mean, the Verdigris Wyvern.
But Verdigris is not the same color as rust. No, Verdigris is like the greenish
oxide
color.
Oxide flying monsters.
Well, let's see. How about the...
Who doesn't like the word umber, by the way? Why have we suddenly started picking on that as the thing to change?
Oh, umber, I've never liked umber. Umber is bad.
But it's like that brownish red. Like,
yeah. Like rust?
Are you going to argue colors with me?
Like a oxydrake.
You're going to argue what's orange and brown with me?
This is great because yes. Matthew is colorblind and Kevin has synesthesia. So between the two of them, you have a normal
love, I love yeah. colors.
Yeah, number there's nothing quite as much fun as the smell of Beethoven. Oh, I got it. The oxidized fire drake. No? Okay.
So too many syllables.
It's a brute.
All right. No. So,
Oh, I got it. The manticore roded.
Ooh. Ooh.
See?
That's terrible.
It's pretty cool. The manticore roded. God.
That's
all right.
That
all right.
So Rodrigo, I love
all right,
it.
Rodrigo. Rodrigo. That's pretty good.
I will point out that I also came up with the name New Team Rust Dragon.
You
that's
did.
That's true.
I did change the ship name. The original ship name was the Big Rusty,
mm-hmm.
which is a hilarious ship name. But
sure. Which, you know, when you think about it,
the tetanus.
Aren't we all there? You go, the
Rusty
McJaw,
Rusty McRust face.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of which,
what about the bronze basilisk?
All right. All right. All right. Let's.
Okay. On. Shut up. I'm sorry. Rusty. I'm serious too.
The Basilisk was the name of their vehicle, not their ship. So they can't reuse that.
Sure. The Tan Tarragon.
All right.
The Winged Basilisk.
What happens to the Celebrant of Darkness?
The
Skrakow.
Umber Wyvern also unleashes their heavy cannon on nice. Them at the same time. So they explode into a shower of sparks and purple and little pockets of a void dimension where chains and pins reach out and grab the would-be survivors, and they disappear into another dimension, never to be seen or heard from again.
Wait.
Sweet.
Brad. Were those Cenobite? Oh, my. Literally.
I mean, when you make a deal with
Zonkuthon, that's
Zonkuthon, that's what you get.
What you expect.
You know, maybe they could come back, except they're never going to come back.
not in this game.
Not in this game. All right. And we do have a few more things that can act, which are these space remoras. So one will come after the Umber Wyvern, and one's going to fly over to you guys. Actually, they're dumb.
Kill them.
They'll just go to, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually going to go to the Umber Wyvern. One's going to try to attach. All right, so now the Umber Wyvern's got one attached. So they both have somebody attached. The other one will try to bite at the Umber Wyvern's hull to deal damage.
And how would that sound exactly?
They bite and fight. They bite and fight and fight.
And that brings us to the end of the round. There are some more mines that are going to start chasing you guys. They're not going to catch up to anyone, so I will start moving them. They will start emerging through the yellow gate and trying to catch up with you. They will still be well behind, but they do get to speed up a little bit. So there are mines, there are remoras, there's only two ships left. And you guys are in the lead.
Should we just punch it and see if we can outdistance them?
Punch it, Chewie.
I mean, you don't have guns in your aft section.
Oh my god, it's so true.
Can you fly backwards?
Well, actually, the Mazer can shoot backwards.
Good.
That's true. The Mazer can.
Question. Since we're coming up on... That's not the question. That was decided as soon as a new animal appeared, that I will have a new pet. So we're coming up on one of those power-ups, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Movement is weird in space. Indeed. In that the faster ship goes slaster.
Yes.
Laster.
I really like that description. But basically, how I will rule it is for you can react knowing what they intend to do, and then we'll resolve that movement during the helm phase, like during the resolution of it. So basically, if it would be good for you to have entered that space before them, you can do that. If it would be bad for them to have entered that space before you, then that's what happens. Whoever acts, whoever has the higher initiative count gets it the way they want.
All right.
But you also don't know that power-up is inherently one shot, but every power-up you've encountered previously was, so.
Have there been multi-purpose power-ups or multi-ship power-ups in previous seasons?
Yes, in previous seasons there have been sometimes. Okay,
so
depends on what they did.
Well, I'd say we should swap back to Quentin is piloting.
No, yeah. Bob.
Oh God,
or Bob.
No.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
You don't want Quentin to pilot. Quentin got too many hands.
We're not enough.
Yes, simultaneously too many and not enough.
What is our current speed? The last time I looked, it was 24, but what is it now?
I think it's ludicrous.
Okay, so...
Plaid.
Plaid.
Your base speed is 12.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting plus 6 from being on the green ring. So okay, 18. So
18. Okay.
And you only got up to...
We're minus 3 because we have a remora.
Right.
Minus 2 from the remora... So 16. The remora only, you were going at speed and a half.
Right.
So that's why -2 became -3, basically.
Okay.
So we're, you know, like.
The remora can drain at a push as well. So do we need to, like, look for the next gate in order to find it?
Yes.
Oh, always. Every single time, if you want to get closer in, you have to scan.
Why do you? It's just mean and cruel.
I mean, you guys get 6 actions. That's a lot of actions. Doesn't always have to be Amu who scans. Anybody with computers could scan Quentin.
Am I good at computers? I mean, I am a
computer. I mean, you're a computer. You could be.
Are you good at computers, Steven?
I am good at computers.
Oh, okay.
I think he's better at computers than
my
me.
Computers and engineering are the same.
Like 17.
And they're 15 and my piloting.
I mean, I could stay piloting and you could,
I have a thing that, you know, if you remember that, gunning thing that you did where you, fired 2 weapons at once.
Yeah.
What if we fired our forward weapons and our turret weapon at the, whatever we're calling the ship now.
The tan tarragon. Actually, well, no, we're calling it the manta corroded.
The manta corroded.
It can't be.
It's called the umber wyvern, but manta corroded is a sweet name, so we're calling it the manta.
Well, so we're in front of it, so we can't use the forward weapons against it.
Yes, but I have a thing called flip and burn, where I go half speed and do a 180-degree turn at the end of my move.
Oh.
Well, that's pretty sweet.
And just start blasting them?
And then just start blasting them.
You know, I want to see still, that.
The thing about that is that then we're going to be facing the wrong direction.
Yeah, also, yeah. They're, like, extremely heavily armored. So I think, actually, the best place, the thing we can do at this point is to try to...
Outrun them.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Yeah, because that's my vote. Especially compared to them, our strength is speed.
Yep.
It's why we didn't upgrade our ship to something larger.
Yeah. All right, what is it? Engineering phase. There's a big ol' eel stuck to our ship there.
Yes. So yes. Maybe have Amu be like, what gives?
I should be able to, like, I have that auto-identify stuff.
Oh, yeah, you can treat your life science check as a 20 to identify this and know what its deal is. Is that what you would like to do as your action?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of us can act from there once you convey that information, so I think it'll be useful.
Okay, then you succeed at identifying this as a space remora. It has likely been kept, based off of your assessment of its condition, in a near-starving state. That's why it's so desperate to attack you. Though space remoras are not known for their preservation instinct in general. You're surprised that you're encountering three... and not either one desperate one or like a school of 20. That's normally how they operate. They are not tameable in the slightest. They don't make friends. They have no measurable emotions that people have detected so far other than hunger and maybe fear. They're actually, what they feed on is the ship's power systems. So the longer they stay attached, they're going to start draining the power core. The first thing to go will be your ship. The shields. But then after that, it's going to start draining power from any of the other systems. They don't actually care about, like, flesh or anything like that. They just want to suck you guys dry.
Does he know the best way to get them off?
So they love... If you can divert enough power to them, they might, bloat up and basically go away. So that can kind of work, and it can kind of, like, shock them basically off. You can otherwise... they're not fans of pain. You can kill them.
Have a thought.
You could also, they are attached via a sucker-like organ on its head. Mm-hmm. So anything that could remove that, like a hull weapon, or someone doing a quick spacewalk, for instance, blast the actual sucker connection off.
What about something, some packets of, what are the packets that we have in our hold that Squeebo's always eating?
Space suds.
Yeah, space
suds. Space suds. Well, again, it doesn't really want nutrition so much as power. That might be more of a toxin to it. Not to say that that wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's a stunt, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It would certainly work.
What if we altered the power frequency so that they're completely foreign to the creature's vibrations and sour the milk?
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
53.
Sounds good to me. That would you could sour the milk. I like that too. Yeah, either of those are totally valid interpretations of that same information, in my opinion. So, Amu, what do you communicate to everyone? I mean, you can kind of paraphrase what I just said, but is there anything else that you want to say when you communicate this information over the comms to the team?
I've got nothing extra. My brain
like
just
additional facts about their mating rituals and
yeah. They're left-handed. You mentioned something about it's their singles, threes, or a lot. Right? Or
the three is unusual, is what he said.
Three is unusual. Okay.
Yeah. So it's either like 20 or like a lone one.
Yep. Which means that there's 17 more somewhere in this country.
Could be.
Well, it just means that this isn't natural for them, that they've been handled and put here.
Yeah. The nice people at Drifters captured these animals and threw them in here.
Extreme Infosphere Productions.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else acting during the engineering phase, such as engineer actions, magic officer, science officer, stuff like that?
All right. Who's who's getting the eels off, and what else are we putting power to?
I would like to scan for the next Framistat, if that's a thing that I can do, to see if where we're going so that we don't miss it. But I didn't know if that's something that goes in this phase or not.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yep, it is.
And it's a computer's check?
It is a computer's check.
You think I should do it?
I like that idea.
Yeah, do I get any like bonuses or anything?
I mean, you can call upon
Grace.
You can
use a Grace.
I'm going to say Grace.
Yes,
dear Lord, please don't let this atheist robot croak. Amen. So that's a plus two?
Yes.
How do you feel about an 18? A little on the low side.
It is a little on the low side. Let's check
I'm
and see.
It's high enough because we're here in this orange layer and I don't like it here.
This is the green layer.
All right. So the good news is it's high enough to detect something.
Hey.
The other 17 remoras? We know they're in there, Kevin. You can just tell us.
you detect. The next gate, which I have just pinged on the map.
Rockola! Yay, so, Quentin did not screw up. Yay. We're going to stricken last episode from the record. I'm just going to erase that from Quentin's memory.
Use the oubliette.
Are there other things that require my engineering skills, or do I need to get back to that?
What would...
you could mess with the eel.
Yeah, changing up the frequency, would that be an engineering check?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I will attempt to do that.
I would actually allow computers or engineering.
They're both the same. I will use my engineering to alter the shield on the hull to start fluctuating, and I'll send a harmonic resonance through the system to try to shake
the sour the milk idea?
Matthew.
I gotta say, I gotta give credit because that sounds exactly like Star Trek. It's a bunch of technobabble followed by a simple metaphor.
Yeah.
It's like,
reverse the polarity of the neuton flow, baby.
Net 20.
And it's sour the milk.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Nice.
Good. Everybody's real space opera genre savvy around here. Yeah. Maybe a little too much.
I've seen more Doctor Who than I've had conversations with my wife.
That tracks.
All right.
It's 50 years of Doctor Who, Rob.
Perfect. So it does not like that. It considers you guys some sort of vinegar. Definitely a dead meal. It's like, and it recoils visibly and shoots off into space.
It tells the other ones, don't bite that ship, it tastes like a dirty penny.
When you're caught by the heel by a cosmical eel, that's remora.
That's remora. Yeah.
Wouldn't the other one taste like a penny though, Matthew?
That's a good point. I was really, we were kind of caught in the aft, so kind of rhyme that one.
When there's something on the hull, your life never is dull. Space
remora.
Space remora.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Anything else happening during the engineering phase?
Apparently some limericks.
About Skrydik.
Powers to thrusters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed.
All right. Basically,
punch Skrydik.
Yeah. I'm going to grab some of those wires I soldered in earlier.
Or to the aft, considering we're in the lead and we currently have zero shields in the aft.
Oh, no.
I mean, do we want shields? Shields or speed?
I don't want to get blowed up.
Because no one did some panel access action.
Yeah, we were a little crunch for moves.
That's why we can't have both. So,
Hecubino, how's your acrobatics?
Not great.
Okay, how's your athletics?
Let me just double check.
Probably worse.
Yeah, certainly worse. My acrobatics, I have a 2 to the roll, and athletics is 0. So,
acrobatics is 5 better than mine.
I could Hail Mary it and try to give it a give orders, but I would have to roll the same thing as Skrydik.
Yeah. It's so annoying the way that orders works.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be like if you have a character, for example, like Bob, who could
who's good at a
potentially,
lot of things.
You know, has a lot of, a little bit of engineering, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But Hecubino is very, very much magic and talking, and that's it.
Sure.
Would it behoove us to do the whole intimidate on the Umber Hulk at this point?
Yeah.
I like that actually.
I actually, you mean to taunt them?
Yeah.
So I think that as long as this may have been a mistake previously, as long as the
critical hit,
as long as the system that is down, which one is it? Like, what's the system that's penalizing me? Basically, as long as I have a penalty, I can't
support.
Push. Yeah,
life
as long
support,
as life support. It has is glitching or whatever. I can't push. I think, right?
Well, at malfunctioning, you certainly can't. At glitching, I think you can just fine. Yeah, you can. Yeah, glitching
okay,
is okay. Malfunctioning,
so
you can.
Yeah. So when I read it, it says malfunctioning, and I just assumed that malfunctioning was a catch-all term, but I forgot that it was a specific term.
Yeah, that's a status. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, then I can do it. Yeah, I can try. I can try and taunt them. So taunt them, I guess I would taunt them for
during
guns,
the...
right? We don't want to get shot is what you're saying.
Gunnery check.
Okay. I'll taunt them for guns.
All right. We will wait on that until the gunnery check, gunnery phase. Anything else during engineering? Skrydik, did you act?
I have not. Shields then, not speed.
Yeah. Shields.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and use a grace. Or how many has been used so far?
Only one's been used.
Just the one.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and use a grace, and I got the other bonus, so plus 4 to 21, so 25.
Okay, 25. Oops. Yep.
That's
good enough.
Yep. All right, so I'm just going to put all 12 points into the aft.
Yep.
And I think the rest are good, because that's about even again, and yeah.
The aft got blown up, and you are restoring it. Sounds good. Yeah. We ready for helm?
I think so.
All right. That means, Vangi, you're making the pilot check.
Yep. So sounds like we've still got plenty of grace left. So I'm going to take her and make the roll. No penalties currently, so let's do it. 23.
You go second. Sorry. That was... There is no way. I rolled a natural 20 on my roll.
Oh, I see.
Fine.
We should have done speed, guys.
Sorry, there's just nothing you can do about that one.
Yeah.
It's a one-on-one, and I happen to roll well. That means you get to declare your movement first. Also, Vangi, If you want, or Sam, you can take a look at the pilot actions in case there's anything crazy you want to do. You could go to full power again, for instance. Yeah. But you are at a angle, which is a little tricky. So like your turn radius will be a little...
I think we're just going to fly this one.
Okay.
All right.
So I think we're going to zip through that power up and see what happens, and then make our way the rest of it towards the ring.
And our speed is 18 minus 2, so that puts us here if you're
is our speed still 2 minus 2 since the eels are
not
on us?
Ha-ha. All right. Then we can make it to here.
Just in front of...
I hope that power up is just like aft shields.
Why would I introduce such a boring power up?
Did you just call me boring?
I just
called your power up boring.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not boring. Just what you think and what you say and how you act.
Stuff you do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, no, you're not boring.
It's a real nice game you got there, Kevin. It's a shame if something would have happened to it. Is all I'm saying.
I mean, I assumed you've been trying to set the game on fire since the first session.
How dare you? It took me at least three sessions to want to set this game on fire.
It was the Jabovnins that did it.
It really was. Yeah. That corporate speak just killed me.
You gain a heavy buster cannon as an additional mount that will automatically mount itself to your aft spot because you have a free spot. So a buster cannon. So a heavy buster cannon deals 68 damage. 6d8, that is.
That's mighty specific.
It has the buster property, which means it's really good at penetrating shields, but bad at penetrating armor. Mm-hmm. If the shields in the quadrant that it hits are reduced to zero, you split any remaining damage it deals between the two adjacent quadrants shields. So if it, for instance, hits the four, the spillover goes to the other sections and it can just take down everybody's shields.
Nice.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Also, if you hit a person's shields with a buster weapon, the DC of the engineering check to divert power to the shields increases by 5 for that ship next round.
Oh, hurtful.
Oof.
So it's hard for them to do that. Yep.
Nice.
That is what you get from that, and this token does go away.
Ha ha, no weapons for him.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys are the slow one.
We are the slow one, yeah.
It's too late now. It went away.
Can they get there?
They do have eels on them.
Two eels.
Four, six. They get the heavy buster cannon.
Boo!
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Oh, devastating.
Boo!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We should have went with speed.
I mean, we don't. He rolled an X20. It wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah, I know.
They got that far?
16. No, I'm calculating their distance.
Oh, okay.
I just moved them out of the way.
It's fine. The buster cannon was an aft cannon, so they can't shoot us with it anyways.
It's a cannon that goes to an open slot.
Yeah.
If they have an open slot somewhere else,
it'll give them more rays.
They will replace their turret mount with it. Goes over their turret.
That'll do it.
Well, it's nice knowing you guys. Join us next week for our new game.
These things, unfortunately, do drag along with it. Gunnery.
In space, no one can hear you gnaw.
All right. So,
Quentin.
Let me taunt them first.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. You guys are pulling ahead, and you're right near a warp gate, which will take you to the blue layer. We're getting close.
Yeah, right?
Yep. I'll get the comm, and I'll be like, hey, Red Iron, Looks like your trunk of junk's got some junk in the trunk.
Still got that mouth on you, Hecubino.
Let's see. let's roll an intimidate check. 30.
Yeah, successful.
Okay, so minus two. Oh, I get to roll a d4, I think.
Yep. Minus two in their gunnery checks.
And a minus four if for some reason they do a push.
Okay. Well, that's not nothing, actually, because so they could just push.
Just for this turn, round. Then. Yeah.
I actually think I am going to push because you're in my forward mount, so it kind of makes a lot of sense to push right now.
Yeah. So that's going to be a minus four.
Yeah, I think I still just eat it and do it. All right. Sure. So the purple will be the new weapon, the Buster. All right. Anything else happening before people attack each other?
Nope. I think it's just Quentin on the guns now.
Guns, guns, guns. Quentin, you've got a mazer. You can still maze
guns,
them.
Guns, guns, guns. I can maze? That's amazing. Who am I going to maze her?
Amazing? I like that. Well, there's only one chip left.
Honestly, I didn't mean that.
Oh, babe. That was really good.
Thank you.
I heard it. Oh.
Behind us, there's a bad guy's ship.
I mean, they're okay. They're, you know.
But they've got
only bad by comparison.
So, were you gonna maze them? Was that what was happening?
I was thinking that I would fire on the copper Quetzalcoatl. Since the mazer is the only weapon that I have that can actually face rearward, is that a word? Mm-hmm. It is now. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna shoot him, and I'm gonna shoot him. Can I shoot them? Yes, I shall shoot them. Here I am shooting them.
You can call in a grace as well.
Oh, all right. We'll Hail Mary.
And you might
make ourselves full of grace. And skrakow, nat 20.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. See, I have just enough hands to run the mazer.
I assume we had installed like a little pillar. Where we can just you know what I'm talking about? Like
his name? Slot him in.
BB-8 you into it.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be kind of cool.
And just take control.
Well, then I can use my left claw and my right claw and my fore claw and my aft claw. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to use the four claws on top of my head or any of the ones that come out of the lower level.
All holding white claws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And four loco.
Could you roll a D100 for me, please.
Can I?
Maybe.
But can I do it well? 65.
I think that targets the engines.
Oh.
Yay.
Slowing them down.
Yeah, and they've already taken a hit to their engines before, so just like you guys, their engines were patched, but are now malfunctioning. Well, they've taken weapons and power hits as well. So that's the one that you get for your, natural 20 roll, and, go ahead and roll 6d10 for me as well. They, by the way, miss you with their Buster cannon. Not 60. Nope.
Wow.
Too many, Matthew.
353.
Not 60, dude. 10.
No.
He said 60 tens, and so I did. Actually, I didn't mean to do that either. How do you feel about 39 points of damage?
I mean,
that's 5 8s and one less 8 because I'm bad at math.
So we run into a funny situation here, I think.
Uh-oh. Funny ha-ha, or funny Kevin thinks it's funny and we're all going to die.
No, it's a good thing for you. You have wrecked their engines. Their engines are non-functional, they stop in space.
Oh, wow.
One could say they're drifting.
After a while.
Yep.
They don't immediately stop because that's not how space works. but.
Right. And in fact, they're on a moving walkway ring thing. So they don't stop, but they stop accelerating. And the debris and nebula gas and space remoras that are actively eating at them eventually do start to eat away at their inertia. They miss you with their buster cannon, but do hit with their heavy laser cannon themselves.
Oh, no.
For 11, 25 damage in the aft.
Well, yeah. Glad we put those shields back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although,
there goes those shields again.
All is what the happens when you fire a buster in the aft.
And I think that's going to cause a critical damage effect for you guys, yeah?
Ding, ding.
Oh, we're down to 54.
Wait, no, so I guess it doesn't. Your critical threshold is 21, so yeah, you're only... So 74 would be one. And 53 is the second one. Wow, you guys are so close. 1 point away from a crit.
Oof. And here I was afraid that the money we spent on those would not come in handy.
On the critical thing? That's on the fortified hole? That came up. How about that? Wow. All right.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm glad I pushed for him.
That's okay. That's, you know, it makes me feel good when you know, a decision wound up having that outcome as opposed to just being
nice.
Random. The Umber Wyvern is stopped, and it's being eaten by the Space Remora. Over the local broadcast, because it's just you, just you guys can hear this, you think. You certainly can't receive signals from outside the racetrack, but you're not sure whether other people can see your signals or not. Red Iron says, well, I guess you guys got this one. I suppose we'll be seeing you next year when we try again.
Good game. We'll drink with you when it's over.
Let's talk appearances together later. We got something in the works. Bye.
And then we cut back to swoosh desk, and Jockhammer has come to his senses again, wiping the spit off his chin and straightening his suit. Well, everyone, that was exciting, wasn't it? But we did say only one ship was going to make it out. That's right. We're in sudden death rounds. That means only one of these two ships will be coming out of this race. The rest of the rules no longer apply, and they're in a face-off. Which one of them will pull the trigger first? I know these teams have history together. I know they're probably talking to each other right now about some way out of it, but I assure you, the only way out is with one of them in space and the other joining us back here on Drifters.
Wow.
That's ominous.
Wait, what?
Do we have to kill them?
We have to kill them.
Finish them.
All right, Quentin kills them.
What?
So Red Iron is still on the thing and says, wait a minute, guys, this isn't excuse me, let me get my accent right. This isn't look, I mean, dying in a race is one thing, but like, we're not gonna just murder each other for
she'll like turn to it's like, I'm not shooting a dead ship.
Targeting weapons.
Those mines swing around and blow up the ship for us.
Ooh, that would be kind of.
All those have been disabled.
No.
And in fact, the eels have been warded off as well. There's some. They evidently have like little collars, and they go shrieking off into the distance.
Is there
the shrieking eels?
The evil producers are forcing us to blow up people who could be our friends.
It's like all of those kids, and they're like fighting each other in the jungle, and I never read the end. How does she figure out how to get around it?
All of a sudden, the Squeaky Clean fires on the Umber Wyvern, and Red Eye goes, "What?" And the Umber Wyvern explodes.
Way to go, Quinn.
I didn't do that.
Grace?
I didn't
do that. I didn't do that either, I think.
There
you have it, everyone. I guess the Team Lizard Brain is as cold as their name sounds. They are going to be joining us again for the next season, or the next episode of Drifters.
Wow.
What an ending.
I know, right?
Man, it's too bad there isn't going to be any more Drifters.
I know, right? what happens next? You're going to have to come back next week and find out. I'm sure words will be said, names will be called, and everyone's dice will be critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.